Amen. Wow. Thank you, guys. Good morning. How's everyone doing? Yeah. Take another dose of that. Man, that was incredible. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to John chapter 13. That's where we're going to be camping out this morning. If I've never had the pleasure of meeting you, my name is Tyler Scott. I get the honor of serving as our children's minister here at Houston's First Siena. I've done that for a few years, and let me tell you something. It's a blast. If you've been around our church over the last month, you may have recognized that we've had some big things happening around here. They tried to blame all the tile being gone in the lobby on us, on the kids ministry, because of all the fun we had this past month. We were able to host our first ever vacation Bible school, which was a party like none other. Yeah, I think a few of us are still recovering from that. We had about 700 kids come through here and almost 200 volunteers, pathmakers that served, and it was just incredible. And then a week and a half ago, we had, 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry, Pine Cove City here with another 300 something kids. It was just incredible to see our church loving on the community and loving on families. And so first of all, as a children's minister, I just want to say thank you, because you guys made that happen. Your generosity, your willingness to serve. We had a lot of people that were giving in different ways. But at our VBS, we had this theme called Live It Out. I'm not going to sing the song to you, though. I will later if you want. I mean, don't tempt me with a good time. Our theme was Live It Out, Love Like Jesus. And our theme for the entire summer in kids ministry, we like to just kind of find this one idea that we're going to talk with the kids about, is this idea of loving like Jesus. And, you know, it's in kids ministry, it's incredible how often I find myself going, wow, thanks, God. That was for me. Like, God uses these lessons that we prepare for these kids, and I'm constantly just sitting there going, man, that was good stuff. And so today, if you don't mind, I just want to share a little bit about what we've been learning in kids ministry and this idea of loving like Jesus. Now, it kind of led me down this path of thinking, just go with me for a second. If our church disappeared tomorrow, would our community feel the absence? Like, if our church just didn't exist tomorrow, would our community feel the absence of our love? Because I would argue a church that loves like Jesus doesn't just blend in. It stands out, right? Amen. Yesterday, it was so cool to see so many of our families and those of you out serving for Siena Serves. I was over at Scanlon Oaks, and there's a butterfly garden, and it is the best butterfly garden on earth now. Not because of any expertise that I had, because I was like, yeah. But just seeing everyone kind of share their gifts, and then I got to go over to Schiff Elementary, where we had the world's largest pile of mulch that I think is still there, because it's a mountain. And there was guys over there just serving. They're just like, man, this is awesome. There were folks who had just gotten back from Rush Week on Saturday evening. They'd been serving with our youth, and they were there at 8:30 in the morning saying, hey, let's shovel some mulch for the Lord. Like, amen. And so just seeing, like, it got me thinking, as I think about this idea of loving like Jesus, would the community feel the absence of our love? And I would say, I think our church does an incredible job of this. But as I kind of thought about it more on a personal level, I thought about what if I was gone? Like, what if I wasn't around? Would people go, man, there's something missing? Because we're called to be imitators of Christ. In Ephesians 5, 1 through 2, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us. In Philippians 2, 5, it says, adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. So if we're called to love like Jesus, I think we should look and say, like, well, what does that look like? And so I just want to spend a few minutes today doing that. Our memory verse for VBS was John 13, 34. It says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. John 13, 34. And if the kids were in here, they'd say John 13, 34, and booyah. That's what we do in First Kids. All right? None of them did it for me. Come on, kids. You let me down. Thank you. It's my daughter right there. That a girl. A new commandment, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So let's spend a few minutes just kind of thinking about, what does this idea of loving like Jesus look like? Well, the first point we'd have is that Jesus loved with humility, not pride or position. Jesus loved with humility, not pride or position. In John 13, just a few verses before this, we see Jesus serving the disciples by washing their feet. A story that we all know. If you've grown up in church, you've been a part of church world, you've heard this story of Jesus serving the disciples and getting down on his knees and washing their feet. And I always enjoy this lesson with kids because I'm like, guys, feet are stinky. Like one time, I remember we had the kids take their shoes off and I was like, what do y'all think? And they're like, it stinks in here, Mr. Tyler. And I'm like, well, let's take it one step further. Imagine like getting down and washing one another's feet. I grew up in a Baptist church as a kid. My dad was a pastor in kind of rural Alabama, real small towns. And this was something we actually did on a quarterly basis. We would go and we would have a foot washing where the men would go to one area and the women would go to another one. And we would sit. And I remember it like made this huge impact on me as a kid because I was never allowed to like wash anyone's feet as a kid. They're like, no, Tyler, we're here to serve you. And so the deacons of our church and the pastor, which was my dad, but I mean, when you have like those men that you look up to down on their knees in front of you and they're looking up at you in your eyes and you're like, what do I do? You know, this kind of thing. And they're praying over you. And it was, you know, symbolically they would wash our feet, but then they would pray over us. And it was such an incredible time to see this like servant attitude towards anyone and everyone. And when we think about Jesus' life, he didn't just talk about love. He showed it, like I said, by getting on his knees and washing dirty feet. And love in Jesus' hands looks like, I would say, maybe a towel in a basin. It doesn't necessarily look like this high and mighty opportunity for me to say, look what I've done, but honestly serving as a servant behind the scenes. And Jesus didn't act like he was above others. He got below them to serve. And I would argue that when we love like Jesus, it means taking the towel, not the title. Not saying, oh, look what I've done. And it's okay for us to be proud of things that we have done in our lives. But oftentimes serving behind the scenes, finding those opportunities to serve others. And Jesus, like I said, he wasn't concerned about titles or what people were thinking in this moment. In fact, when he was washing the disciples' feet, it was in this room. It was in this closed moment of just him and his disciples. Others didn't even see it. And the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the man who was about to give his life for everyone, said, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to serve my disciples. He served a disciple that was going to deny him. He just served a disciple that was going to betray him. But he said, even in that, he said, I'm still going to serve with and love them with humility, not pride or position. And as we're called to be imitators of Christ in Galatians 5, 13 through 14, serve one another through love, for the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, love your neighbor as yourself. If any of you, this is going to be kind of a throwback for some of us, but my grandmother loved this cook named Julia Child. I have a picture right here of Julia. There she is. Anybody familiar with Julia Child? Go home and look her up. It's like the Bob Ross of the cooking world, okay? Once you discover her, you're gonna be like, I gotta watch these videos all day. It's a very interesting one. My grandmother loved to watch her cooking show, and she would make all these incredible things. She was a French chef, I believe. But I love this picture because you see here in this picture, you see Julia talking to the camera, focused on what's going on, but then underneath, you see all of these people serving her. They're like, basically, she's talking about this pie, and as she gets ready to put the pie down, suddenly, you know, one of her assistants lifts up the finished pie, and she's like, oh, look what happened. That's her voice, okay? I'm telling you, she's the Bob Ross of cooking. Go watch it, and you're going to be a dick. You're like, I got to watch Julia tonight. And so these people are serving, and I love this imagery right here, because I think we can learn so much about what it means to love like Jesus. Just looking at something like this, I think oftentimes when the camera's on us and there's this attention on us, it's like, don't worry, I'm here, folks. Like, I'm here to serve. I'm here to do whatever you need me to do. I love in kids ministry and youth ministry. If you ever need chairs moved, just ask a group of boys when the girls are around. They'll be like, I'm down. Let's go, guys. All right, okay. So the girls aren't around. Suddenly the boys disappear. You're like, well, I thought we needed these chairs moved. But oftentimes when the camera's on us, we're more than happy to serve. But Jesus served with humility, not pride or position. And I think we can learn so much in that picture of seeing these individuals who are like, no one has a clue who any of them are. I don't know their names, never will. But they were there to serve. And almost it's like they were like celebrating. Hey, look what she's done. And I think we can learn so much from that and saying, you know what? When we're just loving like Jesus, we see someone succeeding and doing things, we're able to say, let's go. How awesome. Look at that. Look at them. I want to support them and love them and encourage them. And so I would ask you, whose feet do you need to wash? Whose feet do you need to wash in your life? Is there a family member, a child, a coworker you've avoided because it felt maybe beneath you? Like, man, I love them, Jesus. Like, I love, they're cool people, but I just don't have time for that individual. I always joke with my wife that anytime someone in my life is kind of like, God just puts them right in front of me. I mean, I can share with you story after story after story where I'm like, I don't want to talk to that person today. And Courtney's like, watch it. And that day I end up spending a lot of time with said person. And it's just, I think God kind of reminded me, Tyler, I came for everyone. I died for everyone. Second thing we can learn when we're learning to love like Jesus is Jesus loved with kindness and compassion, not judgment or harshness. Jesus loved with kindness and compassion, not judgment or harshness. We can say Jesus didn't shame the broken and forgotten. He lifted them up. I mean, there's story after story after story in Scripture. Just going over a few here in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16, we see Jesus welcoming the children when others saw them as a distraction. His love notices the overlooked and touches the forgotten. And when Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me," his kindness gave value to the smallest and most ignored. That was one of our lessons at BBS, and it was so awesome to hear kids, like parents, come to me and say, "Tyler, my kid came home and said, Jesus said I can come to him. Jesus said I can come and I can talk to him. I can be a follower of him, and I can be a part of his kingdom, not just everyone else, but I'm invited to that." And I was like, "Well done, small group leaders," because if kids are grabbing this concept, because Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." Next, in Mark chapter 1, we see Jesus healing the leper. A man with leprosy begged Jesus to heal him. And it said, moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. He didn't just heal the man, he reached out and touched him. He showed kindness and compassion for this man, someone who probably hadn't felt human touch for so long because of this disease and the societal norms had said, "Hey, you got to avoid this individual." Jesus said, "I'm right here," and he reached out and he healed this man. He showed compassion. He showed kindness, and you could say he showed kindness before the miracle. In Matthew 14, we see Jesus feeding the hungry. When the crowd followed Jesus into the wilderness, he didn't send them away. I love one of my favorite verses. He told the disciples, "You give them something to eat." And I'm sure they're like, what do you mean? Give them something to eat. But then he ended up feeding over 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. His compassion met their physical needs, not just their spiritual needs. How often in our lives, and you know, it's in the church world, I think I see this the most. It's someone shares and they're like, "Man, I've got this thing going on in my life." And you're like, "Hey, I'm going to remember you. Bye." And we kind of, "Jesus, don't put me in this situation where I've actually got to go do something for this person because, well, you know, we've got a lot going on this week. We've got baseball practice and swim practice and the kids have that play. And, you know, I've been working a lot of hours at work. Jesus, I don't have time." But Jesus said, "Hey, let's meet their physical needs before we meet their spiritual needs." In Luke chapter 7, we see raising the widow's son. Jesus saw a widow mourning the loss of her only son, and he had compassion on her and said, "Don't cry." Then he raised the boy to life. Jesus stepped into her grief without being asked because he was moved by her pain. He saw someone in need and said, "I'm going to come and I'm going to meet them there." When we love like Jesus, we come and we grieve with others. The woman at the well, John chapter 4, Jesus spoke to a Samaritan woman with a scandalous reputation. He offered her living water, dignity, and purpose. And he saw her, not her sin. His kindness led to transformation. He had every right to just give her all the feedback in the world. But in first, he said he offered her living water. And because of that, there was transformation in her life. In John chapter 8, we have a woman caught in sin that was brought before Jesus to be condemned. And he said, "Let the one without sin cast the first stone." Jesus didn't excuse her sin, but he covered her with grace and gave her a future. And lastly, in Luke chapter 19, we have the calling of Zacchaeus. Guy nobody liked, the tax collector, right? And Jesus stopped under the tree and called out to Zacchaeus, a despised tax collector, and said, "Come down, I must stay at your house today." And Jesus' kindness changed a greedy heart into a generous one. I was reading as I was studying for this, I actually found one commentary that states that in the Gospels, you can find over 50 instances where Jesus showed love or he was moved of compassion or mercy and grace. Over 50 examples of this, yet only 20 instances of Jesus rebuking and correcting. And I think that's important for us to recognize, because there is a place for rebuke, where for correction and for feedback. And when, you know, I think a lot of times people are like, yeah, we're going to love them, but, you know, we kind of put that disclaimer on the end of, hey, I'm going to love you, but friend, let me tell you something, what you're doing is wrong. And I'm not saying that that's incorrect. We are called as imitators of Christ to walk with one another and correct with one another and love, as Pastor Malcolm always says, love them enough to tell them something. I love that line from him. But Jesus consistently led with love and reserved rebuke for those, and reserved rebuke for in defense of the vulnerable, to correct prideful or harmful teaching, and to realign people with God's truth. I think a really cool way in which I kind of experienced this in my own life. Back in 2008, my wife and I, she's a lot smarter than I am, but I had read a book, and I decided we were going to change the world. Okay, typical when you're in your mid-20s, I think. Yeah, it's 25. And so I was like, I'm going to change the world. We're going to go do something incredible. And so Courtney and I had been kind of talking about these different ideas of, like, we didn't have children yet. We were married, but we didn't have kids. And so we were like, let's go do something. Let's go do missions. Let's go, I don't know, let's just go change the world. It didn't hurt that I didn't have a job I didn't really like. I mean, I had a job I didn't like. And so I'm like, God's called me out of this. The housing market's about to crash. I sell real estate. This is not a good time, Jesus. Send me. Here I am. And so we found ourselves working at a place in Omaha, Nebraska called Boys Town. Now, if you're not familiar with Boys Town, great movie about it from way back when, won an Academy Award, the guy who portrayed Father Flanagan. But Boys Town is a home, like a huge community neighborhood for kids, at-risk youth. And so it was founded way, way, way back in the early 1900s, but it still exists today. Kids from all over the country come to this facility in Omaha, Nebraska, and My dad described it best. He said he walks around Boys Town and it feels like a neighborhood from like the 60s. Because he's like, everyone's kids are just out playing and there's no cell phones and everyone's just happy. And it was a really cool place. We were what was called family teachers. And so we lived in this home with, at any time, 4 to 8 middle school, high school kids that were sent there for various reasons. But when we first got there, we were told, hey, it's going to be a few weeks before you get your home because we got to train you up. So we got our training in. And the second to last day of our training, you know, we're still thinking it's going to be a month before we're put into a home. They're going to ease us into this situation. They come to us and go, hey, some family teachers quit yesterday. You're up. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like in a month, right? Like we're going to get to model this and kind of see how other people do it. Because this place, it's different the way you interact with the kids. And it's just a different world. And they're like, no, tomorrow morning. This is like 2 or 3 in the afternoon. They're like, tomorrow morning, you're moving into this house. And I'm like, God, this is our chance, Courtney. We're going to go save these kids. We're going to save the world. They just need my love. If they get my love and they feel that warm hug from Tyler, it's all going to be great. And true story, within the first hour of being in our home, Courtney had a 17-year-old throwing hairbrushes at her, calling her every name in the book, some names I'd never heard in my life. I'm sitting there going, what is going on? Another girl walks in and is like, she blah, 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 blah. I mean, it is pure chaos. Within the first hour, this is like 7:30 in the morning on a Saturday. And I'm thinking, I don't think we're equipped for this. Like, I got to get out of here. And so I'm quickly just kind of taking this step back. And Courtney's like, get your rear back in here, Tyler. And I'm like, okay, this is my job. We're going to figure this out. But something really interesting we learned at Boys Town is there was these times when you just wanted to tell the kids, because I mean, they were there when you heard their stories, you understood why the kids were there, but a lot of them, you're like, man, they just need some tough love. But Boys Town had this interesting model where you give 4 positive, like they call it positive praise or positive aspects of feedback for every 1 bit of correction. So you could have a kid who's literally throwing a hairbrush at you, but you've got to find a positive in what they're doing in that situation. And I'm not exaggerating. It's like, hey, you're doing a good job of staying in the house instead of running away right now. I just want to, good job. I mean, that's literally how you would talk to the kids, and you would just kill them with kindness. We were required really to give these 4 aspects of praise before, or love or compassion before every 1 bit of feedback. And I think in our lives, if we kind of think through that, it really reshaped the way I look at kids and the way I interact with people. Because if you ever walked by me and I'm like, hey, nice shirt. That was always my joke at Boys Town. If a kid, I was like, I don't know what to praise for this kid. I'd be like, cool shirt, man. Where'd you get that? He's like, you bought it for me. Okay, cool. I forgot that. But hey, nice shirt. By the way, you didn't do your chores yesterday. But we see Jesus doing this constantly, where he would come and he would meet people where they are. He would show compassion. And then when needed, you would see correction. And so I would ask you, if we want to love like Jesus, we must learn his balance. We lead with compassion, Speak truth when needed, check our motives, and be slow to rebuke. And so I'd ask you, who are the people in your life that are dismissed or forgotten that the world is calling you to welcome with open arms and open hearts? Like, who's the world calling you to? It's real easy to love, man, that family at our church that's like some of your best friends, but maybe that individual that you're just like, man, I'm just not so sure what's going on. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's someone on your street. Maybe it's that person who literally stands on their yard every week and yells at everybody. We've got one of those on our street. She's a very lovely lady. She called the police on us the first night in our house because she thought we were squatters. True story. We got a knock. She's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, we live here. We bought the house. She's like, no. I'm like, did you miss the moving bus? And like, sure enough, police show up and we're like, okay, she's going to be our mission field. I love her to death. She's a great lady. She sits in her backyard and sings a lot. And so I would ask you, who are those in your life that the world is calling you to welcome, that God is calling you to welcome with open arms and open hearts? And our last point, we see that Jesus loved with sacrifice and consistency, not convenience or comfort. Jesus loved with sacrifice and consistency, not convenience or comfort. I think this is the biggest one we can learn from, is that Jesus didn't just love in moments, he loved all the way to the cross. His love cost him everything, but it also changed everything. And we're also thankful for that. Jesus' love wasn't just a one-time act, but a daily posture. In Luke chapter 23, we even see Jesus praying for his enemies. As he hung on the cross, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And in agony, he was still thinking of others. Real love prays for those who hurt you. Real love prays for those that hurt you. And that's a tough one. I know for me, in my own life, there's people that they'll say things to me, and I'm just like, who do you think you are? They hurt my feelings. And God and Jesus has called us to love and pray for those who hurt us. In the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus prayed in anguish, asking if there was another way, but still chose obedience. Yet not my will, but yours be done, he says. And love endures even when the road is painful. Love endures even when the road is painful. In John chapter 21, when Jesus appeared to Peter after the denial, Peter had denied Jesus three times, and Jesus pursued restoration with him. Hey, next time I run into this guy. He pursued restoration with him. Do you love me? Feed my sheep, Jesus says. Because Jesus' love is consistent even when we fail him. And let me tell you something. The idea that Jesus' love is consistent even when we fail him, man, there should be so much freedom in that. To know that when we fail, Jesus is still right there. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, to know that our sins are forgiven and we are going to fail and we're going to mess up, but to know that his love is consistent and he is still there and he is forgiving, man, there's so much freedom for that and for us when we want to show love to others. Weeping at Lazarus' tomb in John chapter 11, even knowing that he would raise Lazarus, Jesus paused to weep with the grieving. It says in John chapter 11, 35, Jesus wept. Jesus' love consistently enters our pain before addressing our problems. Jesus is going to come and he's going to walk with us. And so we are called too, as imitators of Christ, to find those that are hurting in our midst and to say, hey, I'm going to walk with you. I found that that's one of those things as I've gotten older in life and been in ministry longer. I felt like when I was younger and like when we worked at Boys Town, I was always constantly trying to find the solution. But I was just this freedom in knowing, hey, I'm here with you. I don't have the answer, but I know who does. And let's go before the Lord and let's lift up your praise to him. Many of you have actually... Sorry, give me a second. I shared last time I spoke about my brother. And why do I always cry when I'm up here? Anyway, I shared about my brother and how he had just been given a cancer diagnosis, and it was, I don't remember what the stages are, but it was bad, you know? And it's been so incredible to see how many of you who've never met my brother, some of you that I don't know very well, and you've come to me and said, Tyler, how is your brother? What is his name? What's his name? Nathan. That's right, Nathan. Let me pray for Nathan. And y'all was like, put your arms around me and my family and prayed for me. And prayed for my brother. And been able to call him and say, Nathan, dude, there's a whole body of believers in Siena that are praying for you. I know you live in Michigan. I don't know why you do. But there's these people that love you and are praying for you. And so this week, I actually got a call from my brother. And I was We try to talk as much as possible, and I've kind of made it my personal point in life to be his personal cheerleader slash coach, because I was told by some folks that work in the cancer world, they're like, hey, there's days that he's going to need, like, kind of get up and get going. So when I feel like I need to, I'm like, as an older brother, I feel like it's my duty, be like, bro, quit sitting in your own pity. Let's go. Get up and do something. And then other days where he's just like, hey, man, I don't want you to be angry at God. I don't want you to be angry at your family. Like, let's talk this out. Well, this week on Monday, he got some results from a scan. And I just want to praise the Lord. His cancer doctor, what he said was, you're the closest to being cancer-free of any patient I've ever seen after 6 treatments. Yeah. And I share that knowing that there's folks in here that are hurting, and I know there's folks that we don't always get the answers that we want. I've got another family battling cancer, and I got a text this morning saying that there's a good chance he won't make it much longer. But just knowing that there's people who say, I'm not gonna worry about loving like Jesus when it's convenient, but I'm gonna find times to say, I'm gonna love like Jesus with sacrifice and consistency. Knowing that there are people who are gonna pray with you and walk with you, man, that's incredible. And right now, if you're new to our church, or maybe you just find yourself like you're just here on a Sunday and you're like, man, I want that in my life. Can I encourage you? Like, kind of take a step of faith, find a community, a body of people within our church. We have live Bible studies that meet at every hour. And let me tell you, every relationship I have in this church that is of depth and of value that I'm like, these are the people I'm gonna call when something happens. The people that are texting me this morning saying, Tyler, I'm praying for you because you're speaking today. Those are people that I met in Life Bible Study 12 years ago. And so I would encourage you, if you find yourself, you're like, Tyler, I don't know that I have community like that or people that are going to come to me. I would encourage you, find Life Bible Study and just saying, hey, these are the people that I'm going to do life with. Jesus, just kind of, as I was thinking about another application of this, they always say, there's this joke that you get to a certain age in life for men where they either learn all about barbecue or World War II. Has anyone else ever heard that? I'm not sure which one I fell on because I own a smoker and I smoke meat while watching World War II documentaries. But when I think about this idea of Jesus loving with sacrifice and consistency, not convenience or comfort, I think there's a story of Desmond Doss. There's a movie made about him called Hacksaw Ridge. And he refused to carry a weapon yet, and so he became a medic. And he faced all kinds of, like, the army folks were all over him, like, come on, man, like, you just gotta carry a gun. You can't go into battle without a gun. And he's like, no, you know, I feel like God's told me to do. I'm not gonna do it. And he faced a lot of ridicule. But there was a battle in Okinawa. There was this ridge called Hacksaw Ridge where they had to rappel up this. And it was a terrible, terrible battle. But he ended up being awarded the Medal of Freedom because he saved 75 wounded soldiers while under heavy fire. The whole army had retreated. They're gone. But he took it upon himself to say, I'm gonna keep climbing up this ridge, and I'm gonna keep finding. And in the movie, I love it, he's like, just one more, Lord, just one more, just one more. And later in his life, he was asked, why did he do this? And his answer is so awesome. It goes, because they were worth saving. He said, they were worth saving. And that's how Jesus loves. He says, you're worth it. No matter what you've done in your life, no matter what circumstances you're facing, Jesus says, you're worth it. And he believed it so much, he went to the cross. And so as imitators of Christ, we're called to show that kind of love to one another, to where we say, man, if our church wasn't here tomorrow, people would feel it, because they're like, those folks, there was something different about them. They didn't just have really cool activities and great coffee, amen, but there was something about them that said they saw worth in me. So I would ask you, what are you willing to give up to love like Jesus? Time, comfort, preferences, because real love shows up when it's inconvenient. If you kind of find yourself right here and you're just like, Tyler, I don't know what the first step is. Man, just find a place to serve someone. Whether it's your community, maybe like on your neighborhood, on your street, just making someone a meal and going over and just walking over the street and saying, hey, I made a pie. I'm not a good cook, but here you go. Or man, 4th of July, imagine if instead of grilling in our backyards, we grilled in our front yards. And we just said, hey, I don't know you, but you're worth it. I'd love to just feed your family and get to know you. Maybe here at church, we have doors all over this place. And Matthew Savage would just applaud if there was people who said, I want to be at that door every single week so the first thing that someone sees when they walk in our church is a big smile and someone saying, hey, glad to see you here. What can I help you with something? Can I show you something? And so just finding places where we can say, you know what, it might not be convenient. I don't know that I have time. It's way out of my comfort zone. But you know what? I'm going to show up when it's inconvenient. As we get ready to close, I would say loving like Jesus isn't a suggestion. It's our new commandment, just as we learned in John 13, 34. It's not just a feeling, but an action. It's not just for the easy moments, but the hard ones too. You see, loving like Jesus means I serve when no one sees, I show kindness to the world, to those the world overlooks, and I give when it costs me something. So when we do this, the world recognizes that we are not just kind or nice people, like I said, with a cool church that does great stuff, which is all awesome, but rather we are true followers of Jesus. And I love what Jesus, he said verse 34, and then you follow it up in verse 35. Jesus says this, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And so if we are a church, we've got the Great Commission plastered right outside these doors. It says, go therefore and make disciples throughout all the nations. If the commandment that Jesus has given us is to go and make disciples, and he commands us, he says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second one is as great as is to love your neighbor as yourself. If these are all things that we're called to do, when we live that out, the world looks at us and goes, there's something different. We don't have to preach to them. They just go, there's something different. It's so incredible. Yesterday, we had some of, like I was talking about Sienna Service, we had some of the staff from Scanlon Oaks, and they were just standing there. They were like, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, well, why are you here? You don't have to be here. This is just great. I just love it. And they were choosing to sit out in the 104 degree heat or whatever it was. It was the surface of the sun. And we've got little kids shoveling pea gravel, and they're just like, this is so cool. And the staff at the school are like, this doesn't make sense to me. But we're able to say, hey, it's not going to make sense, but let me tell you about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I hope this has been an encouragement to you guys. I want to thank you guys for being such an awesome church. When we called, like for VBS, we said, hey man, we need Pathmakers to step up and say, we want you to serve. It was overwhelming, the number of people that are like, Tyler, we're in. And I got the best seat in the house. I got to stand here each and every day and see people loving like Jesus. Down on their hands and knees with a kid with snot all over their face. And you're like, where is your backpack for the 700th time? Where did you put it? What do you mean you don't know where your water bottle is? And they did it with love and a big smile on their face. And I just say, we could all learn from that as we're called to love like Jesus. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I just thank you for this time that we've had together. God, I thank you for a church, God, that just steps up time and time again to say, how can we serve? How can we show the love of Jesus Christ in our own lives? And God, and just as we were talking earlier, this idea of what if our church was to disappear today, God, would the community feel that loss? And I pray, God, that we would be a church that people would go, man, there's something different about that place. Not because they like I said, they have great programs and a beautiful new facility with new floors and all the cool amenities, which those are all great, God. I thank you for blessing us with that. But I pray, God, that we would be known first and foremost but for our love for one another and for those that you died on the cross for. And so, God, I pray that for each and every one of us in our lives, God, that we would be imitators of you, that we wouldn't just show love when it's convenient, but God, that we would find those times when it's, hey, this is the person you've called me to pour into at this time. So, God, we love you, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen.